honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. Kind of a translucent, grayish, bluish sky. Yeah, kind of like the Wolves at the moment this past week. Minnesota Timberwolves played three games and went 1-2. In fact, losing two games in a row for the first time this year. I know, board everything up, it's over. Yeah, I know, I'm just kidding. But obviously, yeah, I mean, it's not just that, oh, wow, they lost two in a row. Yeah, it's not the first time the team has done that, you know, in the past and blah, blah, blah. It's an amazing season, get over it, move on, this and that. Some of that conversation gets tiring as well, though. They haven't been playing that well. Lots of bad habits and such. So it's a little bit frightening to a point, but at the same time, again, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a perfect season, and obviously this team doesn't have championship pedigree yet. Hopefully they do soon. This and that, they, we, us, have pedigree soon, but obviously we're not there yet. All kinds of conversations we can get into today, and hopefully I get to most of them. The Timberwolves beat the Lakers by the tip of LeBron's shoe, I guess you could say, and fell way behind versus the Knicks, caught up a bit but didn't finish. And got kind of obliterated by the New Orleans Pelicans. They didn't put the lemon in the tomato juice, but I did. Yep. Tomato juice and lemon. Yep, and I just tasted it again. Every time I think of New Orleans, I think of that. So, yes, I'm a little bit weird. But welcome to Timberwolves Explosion. This show's been around since, August 2008. So, you probably figured out I'm a little bit weird. But that's normal, right? Being weird is normal. What's also kind of weird is the Timberwolves hadn't even played the Houston Rockets yet, and they have a winning record. Yeah, the Houston Rockets have a winning record. The Orlando Magic have a winning record. Next week's going to be tough. Really tough. You think this was hard. Okay. We got four games to preview, coming up at segment number two, and they're all on the road, including a back-to-back with Orlando and Boston. That's a little bit of traveling there going on. So, Orlando and Boston, huh? At Dallas. At Houston, so the Texas two-step, as we used to call it back in the day, and you could probably still call it that, because, well, you know, at least you're not traveling as much. Well, there it is. Los Angeles Lakers, 108-106. The Timberwolves win. This is the last game we won, unfortunately. The Timberwolves are now 24-9, but this was when we got our 24th win, anyway. Anthony Edwards tracking the basket. He actually got, he didn't get blocked by Anthony Davis. Actually, yeah, he did. Yeah, and no, that was Jaden McDaniels who got blocked by Anthony Davis. This week, you know what's, yeah, it was a theme this week. The Timberwolves are getting blocked at the rim over and over and over again. Anthony Edwards blocked by Zion Williamson. Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Getting blocked on dunk attempts and all that such. Anthony Davis blocked by Jaden McDaniels. Yeah, there was another one in the Knicks game. I think it was Anthony Edwards as well. It's like, what's going on, guys? What's up with getting blocked at the rim all of a sudden? And I know it happens, but it's like, huh, it's kind of embarrassing a little bit. Jared Vanderbilt would start for the Lakers, 8 points, 2 steals, and 5 rebounds. Anthony Davis definitely was the best player for the Lakers in this game. 33 points, yeah, like when he's healthy, it's like the Lakers are pretty damn dangerous. 17 rebounds, 8 assists, through 4 steals and 2 blocks. It's like David Robinson on steroids there. Rudy Gobert, a 13-13 effort, but only 1 block damage. Anthony Edwards, though, definitely still showing that athleticism with the shot block. He had 3 shots blocked in the game, including blocking LeBron James along the way. Pretty damn impressive. Very impressive game by Anthony Edwards, and the Wolves would emerge victorious. There was a little stretch where Anthony Edwards got a little bit uppity on Anthony Davis a little bit, kind of, and Vince Germano brought it up, and it's like, yeah, a little bit. Kind of like a shot off the glass over Anthony Davis and kind of that, ooh, wasn't that something kind of look on Anthony Davis's, Anthony Edwards's face to Anthony Davis. So getting my Anthonys mixed up. Naz Reid would have 21 points off the bench. An entertaining game, but I don't know, a lot of weird bad habits that we were talking about last week continue to be around. And Jaden McDaniels flipping out late in the game when he didn't get a call he wanted. It was actually a foul on him in this case. And there were times that he may have been fouled that weren't called. So some temper kind of boiling up a bit for Jaden McDaniels. And he dropped basically an FU bomb, the two words that you're not supposed to say to a ref. And that was when he'd also fouled out at the time. So it was kind of like a combination of things. And that gave the Lakers a chance to beat the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves should have won this game by 7 to 10 points. And almost lost because, well, if the refs reversed the call on LeBron James, if the refs reversed the call on LeBron James's three-pointer went from a 2 to a 3, who knows what could have happened. The momentum would have definitely been on the Lakers' side. There's no doubt about that. It was a two-pointer. And I know probably, I bet every Laker fan listening is going to say, that was a 3, Joey, you're crazy. It was a 2, and it was the closest thing you'll ever see, pretty much. It could have gone either way, and I wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have felt robbed, necessarily, if they gave LeBron James a 3 there, and we wind up losing, which would have been really bad, because then we would have possibly lost all 3 games. In fact, we probably would have. Just bad habits, immaturity kind of taken over a bit. Mike Conley, he's been saying how some of that's been rubbing off on him, or he might get a technical foul one of these days, because he's never really gotten a technical foul on the floor in his career, interestingly enough. It's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah, he's a very well-mannered individual, as Mike Conley. but, again, because it was so close, that's why I wouldn't have necessarily felt robbed. We shouldn't have never been in that position in the first place, put it that way. Jaden McDaniels helped put us there. And I don't think he had a particularly great week, only 6 points and such. Interestingly enough, what's been also going on is the ultra-sensitive Timberwolves fan base has returned in full force. Like when I used to say, a certain guy who I'm going to mention very shortly, who's retiring from the NBA, I kind of commented how, I just kind of made some takes on him. Like, his shooting, this and that, it's not helping anybody, that type of thing. It's actually hurting the team a little bit. It was something along the lines, like his poor shooting, that'd be Ricky Rubio, yes. And a guy wrote a 3-paragraph comment just going on and on and on about how full of crap I am and how wrong I am and this and that. And it was just like, it was a beautiful Saturday afternoon. I was at a pool. I was at a pool outside, public pool, on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in the middle of summer. And this guy's writing a 3-paragraph comment responding to me basically how I'm completely full of crap and how much smarter he is at basketball and how ignorant I am. And I'm like, can you find something better to do with your time? And then he's like, no. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm just pointing out the fallacies of your statement. And I was like, block, eventually that's enough. Like, seriously, some people are way too sensitive about the smallest things. It's, well, I'm sure Ricky Rubio's never heard that his shooting was subpar, ever. How offensive. I'm so sorry. I'm going to fall over. Like, maybe I'm not good at dancing. Well, I don't give a crap. I'm not going to dance. I don't want to dance. Leave me alone. Go away. That's basically my response. That's all I'd say, basically. maybe you're not good. Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe you're not good at that. It's like, oh, well, that's how it works. Obviously, you're hoping, and again, when it's a craft like the basketball, you're hoping Rubio's shot would improve, but it never really truly did. And that was my frustrations there. I'll have nicer things to say about Rubio in a little bit, I hope. No, I will. At the end of the day, though, the Wolves do survive the LA Lakers by the skin of our teeth. And thank God, at least we got our 24th win of the season. But, and that was this game. The ultra-defensive Timberwolves fan base out there. And I guess it was even the game before, sorry. They're back, and they're back full force. And it used to drive me nuts in the past. Where somebody was like, man, what a mess. Like, how many turnovers already? And it's like, it was like halftime or something. And the Wolves already had like a huge amount of turnovers a few games back. And then the person's like, they won. Get over it. Yeah, well, they won. Get over it. Just giving them an attitude. And this kept going on. I forget the exactly all the other things the guy was saying. But it was just like another one of those where they give you a long response. ignorant you are, and, you know, just go away, basically. That's the Timberwolves fan base that scares me. It is. Completely ignoring any type of issues that might pop up. And put it this way, if the coach approached things that way, the team would have fallen on its face already. Completely. If any head coach approached things the way certain fans do, it'd be all over when it comes to being, oh, they won, get over it. That's, I don't know. But I think we need to raise our expectations a teeny tiny bit, especially on a team that could actually really do something this year. And I know it's not championship or bust. I understand that 1,000% because, well, how many championships have we won in 35 years? So, I mean, even the Twins, when they won their two World Series after that, they haven't won since 1991. That's a long time. The Vikings, 61 years, haven't won anything. They've been there in the 70s. Since then, no. This and that. Yeah, sorry, I'm going on a rant here, and I apologize. Happy New Year, New York Knicks game. Yeah, I don't care about New Year that much, but I know, NYE, but this was literally NY. It was NY and NY, or NYD and NY, against the NYK. Yeah, I know, it's wonderful. Probably about the most intimidating place you could go in this type of situation. New Year's Day, New York City, New York Knicks, Madison Square Garden, blah, 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 Julius Randle, 39 points. Ouch. Isaiah Hartenstein with three blocks in the game. Dante DiVincenzo picking off a couple of these errant passes and such in the game. It was a mess of a game. Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards played very well. Anthony Edwards, 31 against the Lakers, 35 against the Knicks, 29 for Carl in this one. Jaden McDaniels, only 8 points, but he did get a steal and block. Not shooting well, 1 of 5 from outside. Three-point shot just isn't falling, is Jaden McDaniels, if you hadn't noticed. What's his three-point percentage for the year anyway? 36.2, I'm surprised. I suppose he has hit some, but feels like it's lower than that. It really does. Believe me, it feels like it's much lower, like 20, like Shake Milton range, like 27%. Anyhow, sorry, someone's irritating me right now. I apologize. Some people just know how to do that. Kyle Anderson, obviously, again, yep, he struggled offensively. He brings other things, you know, the little things and the big things like defense and such. But obviously, offensively, Kyle Anderson's definitely been struggling, and he only attempted one shot and made it, thankfully, for the Wolves against the Knicks. Kyle Anderson is a New Yorker, by the way, so good for him. Jaden McDaniels, very solid performance in New York. Played about a quarter, 9 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. Very, very solid out there. No turnovers. Yep, he's one of those assisted turnover guys. So Jordan McLaughlin trying to kind of make a name for himself again, as he had a few years back. And then the last year and a half or so is like, what happened to the guy? He's like gone. He was a plus 13 in the game, which again, sometimes is an overrated stat. But at the same time, I think the Wolves played well when he was on the floor. And the Wolves often play super well when Mike Conley's on the floor. But unfortunately, minus 10 because, well, you know, just generally speaking, the Wolves really struggled. Troy Brown Jr. was out for only 6 minutes and he was minus 15. I don't even know how. How can it be that bad? Like, we were at minus 15 in the 6 minutes Troy Brown Jr. was on the floor. New York Knicks were running all over us in that time. Transition defense was lousy. Julius Randle was dunking all over us. Hell of a game. 39 points for him, of course. Made half of his shots. 14 of 24. Again, 39 points. He had 6 turnovers in the game. It was kind of a messy, sloppy overall game. But the Wolves end up surviving, or do not survive, pardon me. The Knicks end up surviving and beat the Timberwolves. Jalen Brunson, obviously one of the stars of the league with 14 assists to go with a 16 points. So I'll let Julius Randle carry the load in the offense this game. Oh, something just happened. I missed it. I wanted to see that again. Shoot. But yeah, I mean, the Wolves continually getting blocked at the rim, and it's really annoying to see. It's like, what the hell, man? Seriously, what the hell? Rudy Gobert getting blocked? Rudy Gobert getting blocked. I just don't understand. So, I don't know. It's like teams are kind of figuring us out a little bit in some ways, and I guess that's how it is. The Timberwolves need to make adjustments, be it this, be it that, but timing their shots, not making it so obvious what they're doing, that type of thing. That's a lot of what it is in a lot of ways. Luckily, the Wolves also getting their blocks as well. Anthony Edwards, another great block at the rim. A couple of them overall in the game. But Falling behind against the Knicks the way we did, I don't know, I guess that just figures. That's New Year's Day for you, I guess, in New York. 38-17. Putrid. Absolutely awful. Like, how do you lose by 21 points in a quarter? I don't care who this is. I don't care if it's the 94 Knicks. That was a really good basketball team who probably should have won the championship that year, but they didn't because Houston was a little bit better, I guess, just slightly. 38-17. That kind of pretty much summed it all up. The Wolves kind of came back and everything, but they wound up, they came back. They won the fourth quarter by 10 points, and good for us, keeping the Knicks to only 18 points. But, geez, you gave them up 38 in the second. So, I mean, that's too much. It's just too much of a run. And the Knicks took advantage of the too much of a run for the New York Knicks at the end of the day. So, and then we get to the New Orleans game. Lemon and the tomato juice. Yep, here we go. Oh, they squirted lemon in our eyes in this game. Good Lord. Zion Williamson squirted lemon in Anthony Edwards' eyes as Anthony Edwards drove to the basket. Anthony Edwards had 35 points and everything. Epic game. I mean, his numbers are absolutely epic, but I don't know. Sometimes he's a little too much, and that conversation has been brought up. Zion Williamson only one block, but holy crap, what a block it was. Also a steal and driving to the basket like Charles Barkley, dunking on everybody, or just dunking, basically. Exploding to the basket. When Zion Williamson is healthy, the New Orleans Pelicans are very difficult to beat. There, I said it. Very difficult to beat. CJ McCollum has been a Wolves killer his whole life. 4 of 6. Herbert Jones, where the heck did he come from? No, I'm kidding. 4 of 5, sorry, from downtown. Pelicans shot pretty well against the Wolves. 46.2% from outside, 55.6% from the floor. And this was in Target Center. And Timberwolves fans were like, what the hell's going on? Because it was pretty bad. Oofta. I mean, yeah, as Minnesotans would say, oofta. And yeah, Zion Williamson definitely looked like Chuck. He looked like Charles Barkley out there, but actually played some defense. Like a nice block on Anthony Edwards and a steal. Obviously, again, you could say those are overrated stats, but hey, they can change the game too, though. You block someone's shot, that can definitely change momentum. It's a momentum kind of a play. And again, a steal and dunk. Pretty good. Pretty good indeed. Zion Williamson also added 6 assists in the game. Really nice ball movement by the, for the most part anyway, by the, what are they called? The New Orleans Pelicans. Oh man, 30 assists. That's pretty good. You know, you got to give them credit. 30 assists, only 12 turnovers. That's pretty good. Not bad. 7 steals as well. That's not sexy, but it's not certainly not bad. They look like the better team in this game. And they are pretty good now. 21-14. Watch out for the Pelicans. If freaking Zy Williamson can say freaking healthy, something's there. Wolves went up with 26 assists to go along with 11 turnovers. So, okay, well, whatever. Not the greatest comparisons back and forth necessarily. Jordan McLaughlin shot like dog dookie. He missed all of his threes. That would be 4 of them. And only 1 basket overall and 1 free throw. Ugh, you know, so definitely reverted a bit there to the Jordan McLaughlin we grew to not like very much the last year or so. We couldn't make anything. It's like, dude, make something. I'm tired of this crap. Anthony Edwards, 4 of 7 from outside. That's good. 11 of 22 from the floor. I mean, a great game by Anthony Edwards, statistically on paper and such. But the shot selection is irritating at times. Sometimes he's just too much into that heat check. And, you know, I was talking about, with the relatives or whatever the past week, how there's always this player on the team every year who, you know, takes ill-advised shots way too much and going to drive you crazy. The J.J. Barea's, even Luke Ridnour at times when he was on the Wolves, obviously. Sebastian Telfer, Rashad McCants, Anthony Bleeping Peeler. Ugh. Troy Flippin' Hudson, you can imagine the word I wanted to say there. Guys like that, that would take the dumbest shots and just kill you. And it would happen over and over and over again. There's always a guy on the team like that. And now it's kind of, sort of, the best player on the team, but at least he's the best player on the team. He's not really killing us, but at the same time, those shots aren't helping either sometimes. I wouldn't say he shot poorly in this game necessarily, because obviously he made half of his shots. But, you can't complain about a 35-point effort, driving to the hoop and all that, but the 6 turnovers, that's freaking terrible. So, getting a little bit too crazy, a little too radical out there. How about this assist-to-turnover ratio? You ready to go? There's 2 assist-to-turnover ratios here we can talk about. Okay. Mike Conley, 9 assists, no turnovers. How about that? That's pretty good. I mean, you don't get better than that, right? 9 assists and no turnovers? I mean, in Canada, they would say that's outstanding, right? How about Anthony Edwards? 5 assists, 6 turnovers.
Here we go. Come on!
Exquisite. Absolutely outstanding. More turnovers than assists. He's not a point guard or anything, but, well, he has the ball like 85% of the game. Slight exaggeration there. I got to see the Warriors lose. Yep, Jokic hitting his shot there, calling a shot at the glass and everything and beating the Warriors in wherever the heck that place called Chase, right? The Warriors. I can't stand them. Go away. Can't stand them. I'm watching them shoot threes and such. Yeah, plague on basketball, man. Kids just shooting three-pointers like 85 out of 86 shots from like three-point range. Like, dude, stop. Come on. Change it up a tiny bit. For heaven's sakes. Troy Brown Jr. has fallen out of the rotation. What the heck happened? I don't know. But yep, only 3-14 in the garbage time when the Wolves are getting annihilated, unfortunately. Shake Milton has fallen out of the rotation as well. And Josh Minot, now that I am saying it correctly, hallelujah, when the Wolves caught up by 8 points at the end. You know, they were plus 8 in that 3-14. You know, yeah, we're sending a message, you know. We're sending a message. We only lost by 11, you know. We only lost by 11. We sent a message. See, we won by 10 in that fourth quarter. We only lost by 11, you know. We're going to get you next time, you sons of biscuits. Well, you better, because this is garbage, and we got beat by them earlier this year. The game we did beat them by the skin of our teeth. And teeth don't have skin, do they? So what does that tell you? Well, they have their own kind of skin, I guess. And we're wearing those ugly uniforms. I'm sorry, I like the classics. I think every uniform the Wolves wear right now is ugly except the classics. I'm sorry, that's just how I see the world. Call me whatever I am. That's just how I see things. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, definitely a quiet week overall, at least offensively. Defensively, he had his moments. Naz Reid with 8 points in this one. Sometimes Naz Reid is just epic, and sometimes he's just okay. In this one, he was just okay. McDaniels, yeah, he's, I don't know, three-point shooting is like putrid. Carl Anthony Towns missed all four of his threes as well. Kind of a mess. And, I don't know, this was just kind of a immature basketball game. Again, the turnovers by Anthony Edwards. Great game and everything and offensively, but the turnovers really kind of screwed everything up. And it's extremely frustrating how that took place. So, I don't know. Not a good week. Bad habits. Little immaturity. And again, that stupid technical. Not cool. So, a stupid technical by Jaden McDaniels. Not the best. So, the Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode is Anthony Edwards. Yeah, but he's got some cleaning up to do. He's good thing he's only 22 years of age, so he's got a long, long, long career ahead of him. If this was him at age 28, it'd be like, well, he's wonderful, but yeah, he's definitely got issues, this and that, definitely got issues to clean up. And if you're 28, then oh boy. So if he can clean up some of these some of his issues a bit, he's going to be an unbelievable player for many years. I mean, he'd be a top 5 player in the league if he can do that. So that, and obviously it's not all about him, and that's very important. I do think he understands that, obviously, but at the same time, sometimes the way he plays, maybe he's leaning that way a little bit too much on occasion, but 22 years of age, so we'll have to wait and see that there. Lone Wolf Award's going to Anthony Edwards regardless. The Johnny Flynn Memorial Popcorn Maker, whatever you want to call it, is going to Jaden McDaniels. Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely taking steps back a bit. When Jaden McDaniels is on his game, he's an incredible player, and he is going to have a wonderful future. He's a household name in this league, or he will be anyway if he isn't right now. He will be a household name in this league, not because he's a superstar, but because he's such a valuable piece and the guy everybody would want in the league who could make an all-star team someday. He just might. But, yeah, he's going to be one of those guys, I think. He just might make an all-star team someday, but he's light years away from it right now, at least this past week. The temper, that's why he dropped to 28th in the draft. That is why. It was his temper. That was the talk at the time. Even Naz Reid, once upon a time, was thought of that he had a bad temper. That's why he went undrafted. I remember the forecaster bringing that up a long time ago when we signed Naz Reid. Like Marcus even said, he's a hell of a player. He just was undrafted because he had temper issues. And we definitely haven't seen that since he got to the NBA. He really cleaned that up. Occasionally, you'll see just a flash of it, where it's like a flash in a pan. Like, whoa, he really got mad there for a second. But then he, for whatever reason, it would disappear. So, good for Nas. Jaden, you got to do the same. Like punching the wall and such. Obviously, that was it was not intended. He did not mean to punch a brick wall. He's not that stupid. But at the same time, you know, there's a possibility that where he was punching, there's a possibility that that's not a safe place to be punching, and you shouldn't be punching anyway at all. Maybe do like a fake punch, like punching the air, that kind of thing, making sure nobody's standing close by when you do it. So yeah, Jaden, go make a little popcorn, I guess, since you fouled out or whatever in that Laker game. Go make a little popcorn, and we'll see you next game, and hopefully you're better at the end of the day. Carl Anthony Towns, obviously, you know, not the greatest week, certainly not the worst. Still recovering, I'm sure, from the knee, but definitely looks better than he did last week when he came back from that, what I believe was like a, was it hyperextended or something? I don't know, something along those lines, type of deal with Carl Anthony Towns' knee. Not super serious. And in the NBA, if he's playing, that's a good sign, because, you know, they're insanely precautionary in the NBA. Like, any type of semi-serious injury, and we'll see you in a month or longer, that type of thing. So, yeah. With that said, lousy week. Hopefully the Timberwolves can flush this one out and have some better games to offer in this very tough stretch. If the Timberwolves respond and go 3-1 this week on the road, that'd be a huge step right back in the right direction. And we really are a top two seed or so in the Western Conference. That'd be amazing if that can continue. A lot of people are already saying that the OKC Thunder are the best team in the West. Hopefully the Timberwolves can say hell no as we move forward during the course of this year. With that, we're going to take a quick break and come back for that four-game road trip. Ooh. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two. We got four games to preview. And I have the wrong Twitter up. That's cute. So bear with me as I screw around with this. Oh, yeah. Well, wish I better get back to that. That's something I'm going to have to look at in a little bit afterward. Not Timberwolves Explosion related. And no, it's nothing naughty. It's Brave the Wild. Okay, so that's the other podcast I do, of course. So, four games to preview. The Houston Texan Rockets. Yeah, the Houston Rockets in Toyota Center. The Sprockets, as I used to call them, with Marcus the Forecaster. Luka Garza has a back issue. And, yeah, Jalen Clark still recovering from the Achilles in the college year last year, which could take eternity in the NBA, of course. Dylan Brooks, what a son of a biscuit. And, yeah, he's not the only person named Dylan around here that people don't like. Like, was it Brendan Dylan in the NHL injured Kirill Kaprizov? Yeah, that was real nice. Son of a biscuit for the Winnipeg Jets. Victor Oladipo's hurt. I can't believe Victor Oladipo's hurt. That's like, wow, really? Victor Oladipo's hurt? And Joey drank coffee in the morning as well. Joey drank coffee, and he puts lemon in his tomato juice when he's doing Timberwolves Explosion. That's another thing. It's kind of surprising, you know? I mean, I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Victor, but you're hurt too much, damn it. Stop getting... it's too bad. He could have been so good. I love Victor Oladipo. That's why I'm complaining. I love Victor Oladipo, but he's always hurt, man. When he was in the draft, oh my God, I was like, wolves, 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 wolves. But, of course, it didn't happen. So, January the 5th, that would be today, Timberwolves will be in Houston, which means, yeah, well, maybe it's a little warmer there, I'm sure. And then Houston comes to Minnesota on February the 4th. That camp, yeah, I don't think that's Super Bowl Sunday because now everything's later. It's just, before you know it, the Super Bowl will be on my brother's birthday, March 8th. It'll go from my mom's birthday to my brother's birthday. My mom's birthday is February 5th, and my nephews as well, twin nephews. Yeah, they'll be 19. Yeah, so anyhow, that's how old our generation's getting already. And then the final game of this three-game series is, because it's non-division, Tuesday, April the 2nd, the death of Chloe the Cat, way back in 2007. So, man, lots of interesting numbers there. Houston is, well, they had a three-game losing streak, and now they're on a two-game winning streak, ringing in the new year with a perfect record. Yay. The Wolves ring in the new year with a shitty record, 0-2. Oh, my God, I swore. Yeah, I did. Sorry. The Rockets got killed by Phoenix. Watch out for the Suns, by the way. Tough matchup for the Wolves if you didn't notice the last, you know, I don't know. Going back to freaking Tom Chambers being there. Gosh, no, we had some success against them in the... we had some odd success against them in the past, even when they were better, but it was weird. Indiana, yeah, they lost to Indiana, Phoenix, and Philly. 131-127, that's a pretty good game. They destroyed the Detroit Pistons, who finally ended their losing streak at 28. Finally, they beat Toronto. Congratulations, Detroit. And then got obliterated, bringing in the new... I'm sick of saying that. Versus the Houston Rockets. Yeah, it was never an NBA Finals. There was some year, I think, that I thought they could have been. But now, let's move on. And they beat Brooklyn 112-101. Yeah, well, Houston and Minnesota tied at 21st in the league in points per game. They're 6th in rebounds. The Wolves are 16th. That's one thing. The Wolves got out-rebounded like freaking crazy against the freaking... whatever they call them, I'm going to backtrack for a second. The Pelicans, they just kicked our butts, didn't they? They really did. And I'm not saying that because I thought it was cool. Yeah, 41-28. That's a huge reason why the Wolves lost the game. Get the flipping rebound, damn it. God. So, yeah, would we do that against Houston, we're probably in trouble at the end of the day. Let's get back to where we need to be. Oh, yeah, and the injuries to Eason, with a leg as of Jan 2nd. Dylan Brooks, oblique, 26th of December, and Victor Oladipo's been out since 1985. And he'll be back in 2085, if he's still living. In 2085, yes. 6th in rebounding is Houston. The Wolves are 16th, blah, blah, blah. 3-point percentage, Houston's 14th. The Wolves are 5th. Yeah, well, thank you, Mike Conley. No doubt. Wolves are 6th in blocks. 26 for Houston, so not much shot blocking there, which doesn't surprise me. Steals, Wolves are 15th. You think that would be higher at Houston. Houston is 21st. So not the greatest defense in Houston, but they do rebound the ball, and their offense is average, basically. They're not a great basketball team by any stretch. I'm going to backtrack again. I'm an idiot. Yeah, Anthony Edwards is at 26.6 a game now. Damn, that's high. Because he had a very epic week in the points. Alperen Sengun, I don't know him too well, but because I don't keep up too close with Houston, Fred Van Vliet went there about a year ago, yep, averaging almost 9 assists and 17.5 points. Jalen Green also, again, and Jabari Smith was a very high draft pick. Can't say he's been superly living up to the hype, but there's a bunch of solid players in Houston, that's why they're better. Dylan Brooks was a nice addition, but he's a jackass, as a lot of us figured out. 41% from downtown, and supposedly has an oblique, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Is that the same Jeff Green that played with 19 other teams? I think it is. What's he averaging? Where is it? 6.5. Yeah, well, he doesn't play a lot, only 15.5 minutes. Reggie Bullock, wow, he's alive. Reggie Bullock way at the bottom there. Oh, yep, Jabari Smith, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a high-end player and all that going into the draft, but I can't say he's superly lived up to it. He's okay. He's a good player, but, you know, it's like, I'd take him and all that, sure, but he hasn't been that great. Jalen Green, averaging 17.4. Jabari's averaging 13.5 points and 8.5 rebounds, basically. But Sengun, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Sengun, he was a 16th pick a couple of years back in the draft. So a nice mid-first-round pick, considering he's averaging 21.5 points and 9 rebounds. Almost a block, but a steal and a half and 5 assists. So definitely been a wonderful piece for Houston. He's one of the reasons why the Houston Rockets are a playoff-caliber team now. So good for the Houston Rockets. Again, it's a weird team. It's a very, very strange team, but they're here. They're here. They're kind of on the scene now, and good for them. The Timberwolves will beat the Houston Rockets. And if we don't, get your head out of your something. You got to be better. You cannot lose 3 games in a row, and you've got to beat the Houston Rockets. Interestingly, they are only 2.5 point games behind the first place New Orleans Pelicans, who deserve to be where they are. And unfortunately, Memphis is winning games now. What were they like, 4-16 or something at one point? Now they're 11-23 because big, you know, because Jaw's big jaw is flapping again, meaning he's actually playing and running his mouth like he used to. Yeah, but Rockets, competitive team, not great, but competitive. The Wolves should be able to take care of business and beat this team. They're the eighth seed in the Western Conference, just like the Wolves were many years ago. Well, not that many years ago. A few years ago with Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau. If the son of a bleep didn't get hurt, we would have been a fourth or fifth seed. But, of course, he got hurt because it's Jimmy Butler. You know, he's going to miss time because he is. He just does. Didn't take us to the NBA Finals either, did he? Nope, only Miami. Jackass. Sorry I had to say it. But yeah, Houston made quick work of us at the time, just like Denver last year. Yeah, but hopefully the Wolves would do the same, yeah, with the situation now reversed potentially, or so I'd hope to believe. I don't think, yeah. But at the end of the day, watch out for, we are still first in the Western Conference, thankfully. But I think the Wolves take care of business here. Predicting points now is almost getting silly, isn't it? But I have a feeling Karl Anthony Towns is going to get 30 in this game. I'm just going to say that. Anthony Edwards may very well get 40, but I think Karl's going to get 30, and the Wolves win by a final score, something along the likes of 118 to 110. Wolves win by 8 in Houston, Texas, and move on. We better move quickly because we got 4 games. Frickin' Mavericks. Ugh, I don't like this. Don't like it. I don't like going to Dallas. But who's playing? That's the other question. That's the other question. Derek Lively, the second ankle. Grant Williams, ankle. Raquan Holmes, who was always hurt, but now it's personal reasons. He was a really nice player with the Kings. He was really good at the Kings. I would have loved to have him. The Wolves are winning this season series 2-0. Very impressive. 119-101 on December 14th. 118-110, which I just predicted, versus the Houston Rockets. That's funny. Thursday, December 28th. Very recent game. Dallas is 2-3 in their last 4. They're a beatable team. They did beat Portland pretty bad recently, 126-97, but got crushed by Utah, 127-90. What the heck is that? It's kind of weird. It is weird. Timberwolves should win the season series one way or another, if it's 3-1 or a 4-game sweep. I hope it's a sweep, frankly. But I think Kyrie's back finally, which could make them a huge threat. But gosh, it doesn't seem to matter too much at the moment, does it? Well, actually it did versus Portland, but Portland's pathetic now. They're the opposite of the Wolves at 9-24. I'm looking up that. That's helpful. It's blank. Why is it blank? Okay, that's better. Luka Doncic, he only had 41. Kyrie Irving at 29. So yeah, they took care of business there versus the Portland Trailblazers. The Portland, who the heck are they? You know, well, Jeremiah Grant, he has good numbers. And Anthony Simons is a starter and all that good stuff, so good for him. Whatever. This isn't going to be an easy game, obviously. You know, Kyrie Irving's finally playing. So, strike while the iron's hot, Dallas. Luka Doncic with 41, and again, they whooped up on the Portland Trailblazers. Historically, this is a tough matchup. Gosh, every one of these games is a tough matchup. When you talk about Orlando and Boston, this could be a tough one. This could be a 2-2 kind of a week. Like, just, yeah, we might be playing 500 ball here. Damn. That just might end up what's going to happen here. Yeah, I am going to pick the Wolves to go 2-2 this week. So, you know, kind of spoiler alert here. I don't know. I don't think the Wolves beat Dallas. You know, and it's not because I'm being a, you know, negative Nancy. I just don't think the Wolves beat Dallas right now. And hopefully, again, as we head forward, hopefully I'm just flat out wrong here and the Wolves kick some butt, go 3-1 or 4-0. But the Dallas Mavericks are going to beat the Wolves. Let's look at the numbers really, really fast. Dallas is 7th in points, 23rd in rebounds. Three-ball percentage, they're 18th. Their assist numbers are crazy. Well, not the assists, but the turnovers per game. 2nd in the league, really protecting the ball. And assist-to-turnover ratio, they're 5th also. That's mostly Luka Doncic there. With his Magic Johnson style, I suppose, without being as flashy, I guess, as Magic, because Magic was the most flashy of all time, for the most part. Chet Holmgren team record 10-3. Anyhow, sorry. The Mavericks beat the Wolves, in my humble opinion. It's going to be a funky game. I think the Mavericks win by a final score of 122 to 114. The Mavericks beat the Wolves by 8 in Dallas, Texas. Anthony Edwards is his usual 30-ish, but the Mavericks win the basketball game, unfortunately. Let's keep moving. It's a back-to-back with Orlando and Boston. Ooh, boy. Historically, the Wolves have struggled against the Orlando Magic, and historically, the Wolves have struggled against the Boston Celtics. Wendell Carter Jr., knee injury as of the 4th of January, and the Magic are not playing very well at the moment. They had a great record. They've certainly dropped off. Gary Harris is hurt for the 100th time in his career, and Franz Wagner also ankle. Calf injury for Gary Harris. He misses so much freaking time. This is a two-game series because of the it's Eastern Conference team. It's Tuesday, January the 9th, and Friday the 2nd of February. Orlando is 1-4 in their last five. I think the Wolves win this game, losing recently to Sacramento in a pretty epic battle, 138-135, and Golden State's winning again, too. They lost to them. Fudge knuckers. They only beat the Knicks, interestingly enough, 117-108, and got obliterated by Philly on the 27th of December. Orlando's 17th in points, 18th in rebounds, 28th in three-point percentage, and no other super sexy stat except 5th in steals, so that's pretty good. That's a very, once you get into the top five, that's definitely something you got to talk about. Paolo Banchero, a guy who I thought number one overall pick in the draft. When the Mavericks got there, was it the third or fourth time? Fourth time they got the number one pick in the draft. Fourth. Crazy. You had Shaq, you had Weber, who eventually turned into Anthony Hardaway in the trade. Then you had Dwight Howard, and now this guy. This guy, Banchero. Yeah, well, he's pretty good. I remember thinking, though, number one pick in the draft? Okay, sure. No offense, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. The Wagner brothers or whatever, Franz Wagner and Moritz Wagner, from formerly of Michigan, go Wolverines in the championship game just because it'd be nice to see Jim Harbaugh win a title. I know all of you hate him. No, I'm just kidding. Wendell Carter Jr., obviously, again, one of those good players, but he's missed so much time as well. Joe Ingles from Ulster Mite. There he is. He's in Orlando now. Good for him. Cole Anthony, who can be freaking awesome, and he's beat the Wolves a few times, 35.5 from downtown. Banchero, 38% from downtown, again, 28 points, 7 rebounds, and almost 5 assists. Yep. Markel Fultz, Gosh, 5 freaking games. 5 freaking games. Markel Fultz. How many times has he been hurt? I mean, how many games has he missed? It's too bad. Number one pick in the draft, too, if I remember correctly, by Philly. Didn't quite do the Iverson thing, and I never liked Allen Iverson. I never liked the guy, but he was a good player, obviously. Jonathan Isaac, I always did like him. I wanted him on the Wolves like 100 times, but then he never came back from that knee injury. Suffered in the summer of 2020 during that bubble thing. Sucks so bad to see that happen. I love Jonathan Isaac. 6.5 points, 1.5 blocks. Yeah, he was way better than that before the injury, but that's kind of who he is now, unfortunately. Only 13 minutes a game. What a crying shame. Like, that must have been a really serious knee injury. Gosh. It's sad, you know? It's very sad. I'm a huge fan. Maybe eventually he'll kind of break through again. But the Wolves will win the basketball game versus the Orlando Magic. In my humble opinion, they're going to play Denver next. That's a good matchup. They're definitely not the same team, and I don't think they're going to be this dangerous playoff team or anything. But the Wolves will beat the Magic by a final score of... This was in Orlando. I think it's going to be lower scoring for some reason. 108-104, close game, back and forth, but the Wolves end up winning in a close back and forth battle, making some free throws. Anthony Edwards with 35. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics. Great matchup, great, great game. Epic battle earlier in the year. The Wolves handed them one of their 7 losses. Al Horford rest. Okay, that's cute. Boston's 5th in the league in points, number 1 in the league in rebounding. Number 1 in the league in rebounding. That's why Horford needs rest. 3rd in block shots. That's also why Horford needs rest. Great basketball team. The Wolves beat them in OT in an epic battle, 114-109 on Monday, November the 6th. That was the breakout game when everybody's like, whoa, what just happened here? The Wolves just beat Boston in Boston. That never happens. No, that was in Target Center. This one's in Boston. They did lose to Oklahoma City just recently. That was after a 4-game win streak, 127-123. Oklahoma City beat Boston at Oklahoma City. for only their seventh loss of the year. Boston has the number one record there is. Yeah, they do. At least I think so. Where the heck are they? Yeah, they're number one in the East, which makes them number one in the league. Yeah, they are outstanding. Obviously, Jason Tatum is all over the place. 27 points, 8.5 rebounds. It's funny because there's so many guys that can rebound the ball, including the point guard, Jrue Holiday. Just like Anthony Edwards, the shooting guard for the Wolves. He's a hell of a rebounder. Huge fan of Jrue Holiday. Always have been. Going back to the Pelicans, the Bucks won his championship and might win a title with the Celtics now. We'll see what happens. He can help them kind of get over the hump. Kristaps Porzingis, a guy in the fantasy league, kept trying to trade for him, but it's like the trades just weren't adding up for me to trade him away, even when he was hurt. And Porzingis, yeah, he's been an awesome player for the Celtics. He's been a tough matchup for the Wolves forever, until recently. Almost 2 blocks a game, 20 points, 7.3. A lot of people look at him always, this lazy player and this and that. I think he's awesome. I like Porzingis. So I'm definitely not a Porzingis hater. Jaylen Brown, a guy who can go off for crazy points, crazy numbers. And at the same time, he can screw you up in the playoffs as well, which he has a couple times. Not sure he's worth the insane contract. I'm not. But he is a hell of a player. Jason Tatum is the straw that stirs the drink. The famous quote, whatever, that everybody says. Yeah, Drew Peterson. I thought it said Pearson. That'd be a Timber. It sounds like a Dallas Cowboy quarterback or something back in the day. Al Horford still added the veteran stabilizer, this and that. I think the Celtics beat the Wolves. Yeah, I mean, it'll be an epic battle, though. Number one versus number one, East and West. Could it be an epic NBA Finals? Like, you had Kevin McHale, the Celtics, so like Minnesota connections back in the day with the Boston Celtics and the Timberwolves. But obviously, that's so long ago. Just looking at that logo. Boston forever has been my second favorite team in the league. Forever. And they are a very impressive team. And that's why I was so freaking pissed off when they lost to the Warriors in that series, because they had them. They had them. It was a maturity thing. The Warriors just kind of took advantage of him a little bit, and the Celtics just kind of choked that series away. They should have won that one. They should have, and it would have been nice if they had their 18th title, and they could pass the Lakers again. You don't want to be tied with the Lakers. You got to be ahead, damn it. You're the Celtics. You're NBA royalty, just like the Lakers are, but you could be ahead of them again. Wouldn't that have been cool? But you blew it, you know, that kind of thing. So there I go, babbling again. Celtics beat the Timberwolves, though, bottom line. Karl-Anthony Towns has one of his better games of the year. Maybe the Wolves do win. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to go off in this one. I just have a feeling he's going to get like 40 in the game. This might be one of those great games, and maybe the Wolves win it at the end of the day. Or the Wolves get absolutely destroyed. But I'm going to go on the positive side and believe this is going to be a very good basketball game. The Celtics win 128-125 overtime. Karl-Anthony Towns, 40. Crazy prediction, but we'll see. But unfortunately, I think the Celtics emerge victorious in an overtime battle. It'll be the second overtime battle, and it'll be one hell of an NBA Finals. You better get home court advantage, because if you don't have home court against Boston in the NBA Finals, history is what it is. Let's just put it where it is. Let's just put that where it belongs. The Lakers beat the Celtics in 2010 because they had home court. It's literally that simple. The Celtics could have beaten them with home court, but they didn't have it. You know, home court between these two teams, and especially Boston, there's something about the mystique of the Boston Celtics. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't know, maybe I'm putting my foot in my mouth, but particularly in the playoffs historically, Game 7 in Boston is a Boston thing. It just is. It's a Boston Tea Party, or Boston Championship, or whatever the heck it is. Tea Party. But with that said, Celtics win by 3 in an epic overtime battle with Carl getting 40. Anthony getting 30-plus. Anthony Edwards, of course. With that said, we're going to take a quick break and look at Fan Interaction and talk a little Ricky Rubio. I believe there will be interaction about Ricky Rubio anyway. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosione. Fan and Direction segment, and Ricky Rubio, who's that guy? I don't know, it's some guy. I'm so mean. Nope, he was obviously the guy that the Timberwolves, David Kahn, traded away Mike Miller and Randy Foy to the Washington Wizards for the fifth pick in the draft. The Timberwolves end up seeing Ricky Rubio slip down to fifth. A lot of people thought Ricky Rubio was going to be the number two pick in that draft and was going to be a historic player in the league. Was Ricky Rubio a historic player in the NBA? No. Is he a very popular player? Is he a very talented player? Yes. Historic? No. You just can't say that. That'd be inaccurate. By the way, the Instagram for Timberwolves Explosion is Timberwolves_explosion. It is in the show description, but just in case. And there's no comment that I can see. I just want to check and make sure, because comments should start showing up one of these days. But I do appreciate the people that like and follow the show on Instagram. And hopefully I can add some video content on there to get things kind of moving forward a little bit. Get the show, make the show slightly more interesting and not just a single podcast a week. Maybe add a little conversation as well. Just because it's 2023, 24, 25, 26, whatever year it is. So I got to modernize a little bit. It's not like playing modern video games. Podcasting has to modernize a little bit, doesn't it? Even though the content is classic basketball conversation. X-Twitter, Twitter X, blobbity freaking blah. Vince Germano out of Australia. Tanae Brown out of, what's it called? I am so sorry. Out of New Zealand, retweeting the most recent episode. And I did not mean to say, that's rude, isn't it? There it is. Yeah, here it is. There it goes. Vince Germano. That's not arrogant creeping in from old mate, is it? Yeah, but he was staring down AD after crossing him up. It was a great play, but a little bit. Yes, a little bit. See, I'm not going to be a hypocrite when I rip the, when I've ripped the bleep out of the Golden State Warriors for their endless arrogance. Countless arrogance, and people like ignore it like it's nothing. Steph Curry, after every damn shot he made for the longest time, acted like a 12-year-old. And I'm going to keep saying that for the rest of my life. The guy acted like a 12-year-old half of the time he made his shots. I think he's toned it down over the years, but circa like 15, 16, 17, it was like, dude, you're acting like a 12-year-old. Stop. It was obnoxious. So, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, that wasn't arrogance. Yeah, it was. It was. I don't think he's anywhere near Curry's level. I don't think anybody's at that level. Heck, even Curry admitted it after the game when Chris Paul, when he was still with Houston, and they should have beat them in that series. See, that's another choke job like the Celtics. Damn it. Houston should have won that series. The Western Conference years ago. That was a great Houston team. Chris Paul kind of did the wiggle back at Steph Curry. Like, yeah, how do you like it, you little punk? Basically, that's basically what he was telling him. Because he's sick of it. And then Steph Curry said, he said it was well-deserved. See, so at least I give Curry a ton of credit for that. A ton of credit for that. Tyrese Haliburton has the most fan votes of East guards. Interesting. Okay, sorry. But Carl Anthony Towns, 10th. Okay, I'm just looking at this. Okay, I'm distracted. Chet Holmgren's got more votes than Carl Anthony Towns. Victor, yeah, of course, whatever. They're not that good. Okay, they're not good at all. Sorry, but crap. Anthony Edwards, where is he? 6th. Ah, Kyrie's got more, huh? Flat earthers, I guess. Sorry. What am I even getting into here? I apologize. My mind is just stopping. Oh, yes, the arrogance and such. Yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards, I hope he can tone things down a bit. So, yeah, he needs to tone down the arrogance a little bit. He's not nearly as bad as, Curry and such, and even other players in the past. But, again, I don't know. Let me look at it one more time. Just play it, please. Play it, please. Let me guess. There's going to be some audio. Probably be an ad. Of course there's an ad. What a shock. Honk at me. Yeah, I am. Here it comes. Just play the video. Another, it's the same ad again. You sons of... But no, at the bottom line again. I mean, I don't like arrogance in any form. I think it's classless at the end of the day. There's no need for that. James Harden still got more votes than Anthony Edwards. That's dumb. So, I mean, that, yeah, I got distracted looking at that. Yep, so there's the dribble. Crosses him up. Yeah, that was a great move. I mean, I liked it. Kind of like Jordan a little bit, but let's see the face again, because they didn't show it. Unfortunately, the NBA is just filled with that kind of nonsense now. It's like a little bit. Again, not as bad as Curry, like wiggling around and such. Especially when he hit the game-winning shot against the Thunder that same year, or was it 2016? He like went in the middle of the court and went all over the place. And fans should have booed the hell out of him, but they didn't. It was stupid. In the NFL years ago, George Teague, Terrell Owens, ran to the center of the field in Dallas and held the ball up with his arms in the air. And George Teague, the safety of Dallas, just obliterated him. That's about what I wanted somebody to do to Steph Curry at that time with the OKC. It was so disrespectful to a point of like, dude... Like stuff like that drives me nuts. So, yeah. Bottom line, Anthony Edwards, please never fall to that level. I hope that's as far as he goes when it comes to that. So, sorry, I probably took this way longer than I should have. But yeah, you know, well, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of fan interaction, unfortunately. But yep, Vince Germano comes back again out of Australia, commenting on Ricky Rubio. Wish him all the best in retirement. Absolutely one of my favorites. Always seemed to play with enjoyment and a smile on his face. I agree with that. Definitely a passion for the game. He talked about he went to a dark place in the summer. I hope it wasn't like suicidal thoughts or anything crazy like that. I don't know. I hope not. I mean, we just don't know what's going on in the world out there. So that's pretty much. So we're going to talk about Ricky Rubio for a bit here. Obviously played for the Wolves for a while. Again, was the fifth pick in the draft. David Kahn traded for the 30-30. He's 33 years old already. Isn't that weird? He traded for the fifth pick in the draft by giving up Mike Miller. And I just want the doggone basketball reference. There it is. Mike Miller and Randy Foy for the fifth pick from the Washington Wizards. Ricky Rubio, again, fifth pick in the draft. We passed on Steph Curry twice. Yeah, I know. We've heard about it 50,000 times. It was a pain in the ass to get him here for a while, but eventually we got him. He re-signed with Spain. He was only a kid at the time, only 19 years of age, but he should have came to the NBA. But I remember he was a bit ticked off that we had drafted Johnny Flynn. Like, what the heck are we doing here? Two point guards? But interestingly, we would have the same reaction if we took Curry, but we probably should have. No kidding. But we can move on from that. And yes, I would have been irritated with Curry's arrogance if he was at the Wolves. Just like I'll be irritated if Anthony Edwards keeps it up. Ricky Rubio came here. There was an immense amount of excitement. Absolutely great in 2011. Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio. It was so much fun. Timberwolves explosion did really, really well. Thanks to Ricky Rubio. And I thank you so much for bringing a lot of fans. Unfortunately, it was the more sensitive fan base that probably didn't like my quote-unquote honesty. They just didn't. Field goal percentage. What's his career field goal percentage? Like, you want to say fallacies in my comment? 38.8 for his career. His career best field goal percentage was 41.8. His second best, 41.5. Fallacies? I mean, I'm sorry. Sorry, I don't mean to be a jerk, but it's just kind of how that went. Now, he kicked our butts when he was with Utah and Phoenix. 35% from three that one of the years, 36 with the Suns. And I was a fan. I mean, I enjoyed what he was doing out there. He did a good job with Utah and with Phoenix. Came back to the Wolves for a year, was a wonderful veteran presence. Anthony Edwards loved him to death as a rookie. And then we traded him again for Taurean Prince, which I'm sure irritated a lot of people. I still kind of don't understand why we even did that, actually. As valuable as Taurean Prince could be, I forget if it was some kind of a salary dump or what the heck the deal was. But Rubio played pretty well with Cleveland for the most part. But then, yeah, he ended up being kind of it was more of a backup player. And then hurt his knee again, unfortunately. And then was just kind of gone into depression, apparently, and announced his retirement from the NBA. He played only 33 games before that serious injury. Or no, he had the serious injury his first year with Cleveland and then came back. Yep, was playing again. And then now has just said, I don't really want to play in the NBA anymore. So, again, shooting was an issue with him, unfortunately. It just kind of was what it was. He did have some positive years, though, from two-point range at least, 45% with Utah. I thought his best years were with the Jazz, for the most part. Very, very solid. Averaged 8.8 assists with the Phoenix Suns. That's awesome. 9.1 with Minnesota in his final year here before he was traded away to the Utah Jazz. Yeah, that was an interesting time when the Wolves traded him away. But we kind of, you know, we kind of had to make our moves and see what we could do after that. But the 2020 trade was more of a salary dump so we could make other moves. I remember that. And we wound up getting Jeff Teague and such. So that was definitely not a popular move either. So, I mean, at the same time, Ricky Rubio, did he live up to the overall hype? No. But is he a nice guy and an entertaining player to watch? Absolutely. So definitely an ode to a career that could have, you know, a career that was fun, an enjoyable run, and hopefully he keeps playing in Spain. That's maybe the conversation that could happen, that he'll play again, but over there. That's a possibility, but we'll see. Maybe he's in a lot of pain. He went through some weird situation with, like, after effects from COVID-19 when he came to Minnesota. That's why he struggled when he first got here. But as the season progressed, he got better and better, did Ricky Rubio. Because, yeah, it was weird. It's like he was so good with Phoenix and Utah, and then he comes here and he's like, what's going on? He's like weird. He's like a zombie out there. But eventually things kind of got better for him, and then he had the terrible injury in Cleveland again, another awful injury. So all the respect to Ricky Rubio. And not trying to trash on him, just bringing up, the shooting was an issue, unfortunately. So it is kind of like a what could have been. Like, man, he could have been so great. That's the one thing. But still was a nice player, a well-liked player, and wishing him the best as well. With that said, please do put a positive rating, a 5-star rating for Timberwolves Explosion on your Apple Podcasts or any other app you have out there. It would really help the show build up some algorithms. And those of you that have, I can't thank you enough. Love you very much and really appreciate it 1,000%. Scott Doherty of Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, huge respect to you. And thank you again for allowing me to post basically bat signals or show bat signals like the show is out, come and check it out, that type of thing. So really appreciate you, Scott Doherty. And it's a wonderful page. Lots of interaction during the week. And again, he gives out prizes sometimes as well. It's an awesome Facebook page. With that said, have a nice week, and hopefully the Wolves can get out of this funk. It would be great. LeBron James just passed to a ghost on Shaqt and a Fool. Sorry, that's a funny way to wrap up the show. That's funny. Oh, I like that. That was funny. I'm sorry. That was hilarious. I had that out in the background. LeBron James passed to a ghost. That's funny, man. With that said, have a nice week, and we will talk to you when we'll talk to you when the Wolves hopefully go 3-1 or beyond after this tough road trip.